Welcome to the Hustler's Guide to Flow. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, and I'm taking you into the minds of some of the most incredible leaders in the medical, research, business, and yes, even spiritual fields to equip you with powerful insights and practical strategies to level up in business and in life. The next level version of yourself starts now. Today's guest has been practicing aesthetic medicine for over 16 years. While she's known for having a conservative aesthetic focusing on natural looking results, she's well versed in cool sculpting, lasers, dermal fillers, and chemical peels, just to name a few. She's passionate about helping her patients build self-confidence through aesthetic treatments, medical grade skincare products, and expert guidance with the goal of restoring and enhancing their inner beauty. I'm so excited to share this conversation with the amazing Dr. Ambreen Chaudhry. In this episode, we talk about why skincare is self-care for so many women, myself included, the difference between over-the-counter and medical-grade products, and how we can begin to have glowing skin now. Thank you, Dr. Ambreen, for making the time to come on our show today. It's such a pleasure.
I'm so excited to be here, Marcia. So excited.
Yay. So I have been following your Instagram for quite some time. I think we may have gotten to each other's network through like a doctor's group, I think, possibly. Right. And then like all of your content, I'm so loving it because I really love skincare. And before we get started, I would love to know like a quote or mantra that you live by.
You know what? I always tell my patients, it's really not vanity, it's sanity. I say that all the time. And I saw it trending last year when COVID hit. And, you know, I know that I'm in the field of aesthetics and, you know, we do Botox and fillers in the practice. It's not really about telling women, oh my gosh, you have wrinkles and you need Botox. It's really about empowering them, helping them understand and really accept it's okay to take care of yourself. And I think that when, you know, our business, for example, closed during COVID, I really didn't think people would be even thinking about aesthetics, right? And we have seen this past year worldwide actually increase in aesthetic services. And if you think about it, like, why did that happen? Most of us were sitting at home working remotely. What made women especially say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, take time for myself. And, you know, this is the time for me to do it.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, it's funny when everything happened with COVID, we went into our version of lockdown last year and everything shut. That's when I realized how important my self-care was. Like when my nails didn't get done and they were breaking and I'm like, I don't know how to do SNS. How am I going to do these nails? And my eyebrows and everything were like all over the place. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is actually so important to my mental health. And I love that you said it's not vanity, it's sanity. And I think that's where we need to, first of all, come from a place as women, because I find that it's more women that are judging other women, you know, just come from a place of non-judgment and seeing that we all value different things and that this is truly a form of self-love.
Absolutely.
And I think there's a distinction to make as well, is that like, I think for some people you can become obsessed, but that mm-hmm. goes for anything. You could bring that energy to anything and they become obsessed and then people think, you know, like you only care about your appearance. And I always say, yes, we're spiritual beings, but we're having a physical experience and our soul experience matters. And yeah, I really wanted to discuss like skincare and why it's so important to our emotional and mental well-being.
I'm going to give you a quick example. So when we reopened, I had a really good patient of mine come in and, you know, she's an executive. She manages, you know, hundreds of other, you know, men and women under her. And she came in, she sat down on the chair, and I said, so what are we going to work on today? What's our goal? And she immediately got emotional and actually started crying. She had a little bit of a breakdown. And I remember saying, I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, I am stuck at home working, you know, on Zoom, and I'm looking at myself all day long, and I haven't done anything for myself. And it's really interesting because when she came in, I didn't do, you know, a lot of Botox or fillers on her that day. We did just a small little tweak. By the time she had left, I could see it in her demeanor. She was feeling better. And I think it's about women really accepting that it's not selfish and that it is perfectly acceptable to want to take care of yourself. And how you do that is up to you. You know, whether that's through exercise, you know, doing your hair, your nails, a little Botox, you know, whatever it is, using your skincare products. I mean, for us, it can actually become a ritual, right? I know I enjoy masking. I love it. You know, I have access to all these great skincare products and all these injectables. But at the end of the day, one of my favorite treatments is to come home and just do a mask for 5 minutes, because in that moment, I feel like I'm doing something just for me.
Yes, so true. Like, I agree with everything that you said, especially the whole, it becomes a ritual. And like, for me, that's what it is. Like when I do a mask, or when I do like a roller or something, it grounds me into the moment, and I can be truly present with myself. And especially when you're a parent, sometimes you're just running around and you're always doing for someone else. And I find skincare especially is one of those, you can't really just rush. You have to actually be present with yourself. Whereas with most things, you can rush. You can even rush that coffee out the door. You can rush so many things. With skincare, I find my night ritual, it really makes me slow down, and I get to truly connect with myself.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, when I see patients in the practice, I think I spend more time about, you know, how to apply your skincare products, when to apply them, and why you are using a certain product, you know, in terms of ingredients and things like that. And anytime I see a patient that comes back and says, you know, I feel like I get a little bit dry or a little bit irritated from this product, my first question is, how are you applying it? What are you doing? And so it's just a matter of just taking the few minutes and, you know, applying your skincare product the correct way and using the right product, I think, right?
Oh, I love that. And I'm so jealous of your office, because I watch all of your stories and follow her on Instagram, because you can see all of her treatments and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I would love to just have access to all that. It would be so amazing. So let's talk then about what you think from your perspective is one of the biggest mistakes you see people doing with their skin. When a patient comes in and they're like, whatever the challenges that they're having, like, what do you see most commonly? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe women are doing this, or men are doing this.
So I think what's really interesting is that when I typically see a patient for the first time, you know, patients get really excited about lasers and chemical peels, and my first question for them is, well, are you using sunscreen? You know, what kind of products do you use? And I can actually change your skin by having you use the correct skincare products. And I can almost see like there's a letdown in the face that, oh my gosh, I really wanted a laser treatment. She's talking to me about sunscreen. So I think I see lots of patients that just aren't using the right product at home. Definitely are not, you know, we're in the South. Patients here don't like to use sunscreen. I really have to convince them that sunscreen is probably the best anti-aging treatment you can, you know, use on your skin. But I also see a lot of patients doing at-home devices and not really understanding the limitations of those devices. For example, the microneedling rollers. I had a patient come in a few months ago, and her lip, I mean, it was all sore and she had a scar there. And I said, what have you been doing? She's like, well, I've been using that roller at home. So I think there are limitations to what you should be doing at home. But if you're looking for a microneedling session where you're going to grow collagen, you can't do that at home. It's not going to give you that same result. So when you're coming to a physician's office, we're going to make sure everything is done in a controlled manner, right? So that you're not, you know, I don't want you to go home and injuring yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. two things. The first thing I picked up on was that, and I see this in my line of work as well, whereas people want the dramatic thing. They're like, do something transformational. And then you go back and it's actually, no, it's the basics. Are you doing the daily things? And for your patients, it's often just wearing the sunscreen, like the right products on the skin. And also the home devices. And I remember you did a post on the skin needling, because I get skin needling as well. And I had considered getting the home one. And can you explain the difference between the one that you can just buy, please don't buy on Amazon, but the one you can just buy online versus when you go into a medical office to do it?
So what's really interesting is that when you're coming into a medical office, first of all, our needle depth, first of all, the area, you know, the skin has to be clean, right? So we're making sure that, you know, sanitation is a huge issue, right? Number two, the needle depth makes a difference. So when I'm doing a microneedling procedure on a patient, you know, on the forehead, that's skin right on bone. So I know I don't need to go that deep. But for you to see a really pretty result, long-term collagen growth, I want to see little petechiae, a little bit of bleeding. So that means that on the cheeks, I might go a little bit deeper. So the depth of the needle definitely makes a difference. Your home rollers cannot go that deep. They're very super, it's almost like you're scratching the skin. You're not going to grow collagen just by scratching your skin, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something that is really interesting. In the US, I believe it was earlier last year, maybe the year before, there were actually cases of HIV being spread through a spa that was using a microneedling device. So I, you know, encourage my patients, these are medical treatments. You want to be seen in a medical controlled environment, right? So, and I also like when I'm doing microneedling, you know, you're not just rolling or you're not just puncturing the skin, you're creating channels in the skin. I want to make sure I'm sending you home with a regimen. You've got those channels in the skin. Why not use a product that has peptides or growth factors so that you get that collagen boost when you go home? When I'm actually doing the treatment, sometimes I add your own plasma, you know, PRP, PRF, those are big buzzwords in the aesthetic world right now, because they're proven to show that your plasma has growth factors, and infusing them into the skin boost the effect of the treatment. You can't do that at home with a home rolling device.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I love that explanation. I just realized that I didn't explain to our listeners of like, why would someone come in and do skin needling? And then why would is it the PRP? Why is that helpful? Just so that people can get an understanding who are not so familiar with like the different skin treatments. Why would someone come in to get something like that?
To come in and get the PRP?
Yeah, so, or even the needling, like what is it that they're trying to get from their skin?
So microneedling is a great treatment for scars, for texture improvement, even pigmentation sometimes. So, you know, when patients come to see me, sometimes they think that they have to call the office and ask for a treatment. That's really not what they need to be doing. They need to just call and say, hey, I have this issue. I have some old acne scars. And can Dr. Chaudhary take a look and tell me what I need to have? So when they come in during their consultation, we have to make sure that this is a treatment that is appropriate for their skin type. So I love to use microneedling on my acne scar patients. And sometimes I alternate that with certain lasers. But there are lasers that I can't do in patients that are, you know, my skin color even darker. So I really love to use microneedling on them. Patients that have fine lines and texture issues, microneedling is just a great way to boost your collagen. Anyone can benefit from it. But like I said, we boost the effect of the treatment by adding plasma. Doesn't have to be done every time. But I prefer, you know, every now and then, every season, come in, add a little plasma to it. But basically, it's for texture improvement. So scars, texture, fine lines, sometimes certain pigmentation. Patients that have melasma, which is a type of hormonal hyperpigmentation, microneedling can help break that up.
Oh, wow. And the melasma, is that, can that happen like after you have kids?
Melasma is hyperpigmentation, and in women it's usually hormonal, and it sometimes has a genetic component to it. We don't know why certain women have it. I've seen it in patients that are on the pill. I've seen it on patients that have thyroid issues, certain medications. So we kind of go through your medication list, make sure, you know, are you on something that can be changed around? And melasma is really about getting it under control and preventing it from happening. But once you have it, you always have it. And the sun, it doesn't take much, but just ultraviolet to kind of bring it back out. So there are lots of ways to treat melasma. I usually love to use chemical peels on my melasma patients, love to send them home on a good medical grade prescription strength products that they're going to use for several months. And then over the summer, obviously in the South, my patients are on the beach. So we talk about, you know, wearing a hat, using that sunscreen multiple times during the day, reapplying your sunscreen, and then in the fall coming back and maybe doing another chemical peel.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I heard you talk a couple of times about like the importance of the actual products that you're using on your skin. So before we talk about some of your favorite products, can you share a little bit about what's so much better about getting a product from your office versus going to a drugstore or somewhere in a mall and getting products? What's the difference?
I think that I want to make things easy for my patients. I want them to use products that I know are scientifically, clinically proven to work. I know that you don't need to have 12 different products at home. I mean, if you came to my house and you looked at my bathroom, I have skincare products everywhere, right? I love it. But the reality is you really don't need to be using so many different products, right? And when you're coming into a medical practice, like I said, the fact that I have science behind what I'm suggesting kind of makes me feel better. Products are not that cheap. I want my patients to be on a product that is going to actually do what it's supposed to do. So it's actually quite common for me to have moms bring their children, their daughters in and say, listen, I'm spending all this money at Sephora and I'm not sure that the product is really doing what she thinks it's supposed to do. So I think there's a lot of education behind it. So when you're coming into like my practice, at least, there's significant amount of time spent on educating you on, okay, this is the one product you need. This is how you're going to use it. This is why you need it.
Mm-hmm. So with the products that, because I find they're different products, right? They're all together different products. What you would get in a medical practice versus what you get from Sephora or Mecca or what are the big other stores that you would get skincare from, they're not the same products at all. So are they under more stringent regulations and testings for the medical grade versus the ones we get in our big shopping centers?
Yes, I agree with that. Absolutely. So for example, there are two labs that we work with and those labs run those clinical tests for us. So if you're coming in my practice and you have a product that you think should be on my shelf, my first question is, show me the proof, show me your studies. You know, I don't want something that just smells good and feels good. I want to see how many patients you tested. I want to see how many of them were my skin color and what kind of results did those women really have, men and women. And also, I'll tell you, over-the-counter products, they don't want to have the risk of irritating your skin, right? So there's a lot of focus on pretty packaging. There's a lot of focus on fragrance, maybe, and the way the product looks. In a medical office, our focus is we want active ingredients. We want, you know, stronger doses or stronger strengths of, like, for example, my retinols. I want something strong that is going to do what I want it to do, because my patients are usually coming in, you know, with issues like melasma or acne, right? So I'm trying to correct an underlying issue as well. I'm not just trying to give you pretty skin. I want to resolve any issues you might be seeing.
Yes, I love that. And how I would say it is, so what you're saying is the over-the-counter stuff is for the general public. So because there's not a doctor there saying, like, treating the person in front of them, it needs to be mild. So if you have any specific conditions or concerns, or if you want the best products, you would go into a practice like yours, because then it can be catered to your specific skin needs. And then we can have more of the active ingredients that are going to treat your specific thing rather than the over-the-counter that's kind of like okay for everyone, but not really impactful for anyone. It's not as effective than the ones that you would get in your office.
Well said. I think you summarized that really well. That's exactly right. That's spot on. You know, we carry different brands of medical grade products, for example, in the practice, but I don't carry the entire line. And I will go through and look at your skin and say, listen, this is something I think you're going to benefit from. You have rosacea. I want you to use this product to help you with the redness, or I want you to use this in conjunction with a prescription. So that happens a lot in the practice too. But aside from that, you know, I have younger patients now. The millennials are the growing segment of aesthetic practices. And what I love about my millennials is they come in because of social media. They kind of already know, listen, I want something medical grade. What does that mean? And I want to get ahead of the game. So pre-rejuvenation is a real thing. So I love it then when the millennials come in and they are already on their sunscreen. I don't have to have that discussion. They know that I love zinc-based sunscreens because that protects them against UVA, UVB. And they're coming and they're asking me, all right, do I need to be on a retinol? What kind of a retinol do I need? How do I use that? Studies show that women that add vitamin C to their sunscreen have less fine lines and wrinkles. So those patients, my millennials, are already coming in knowing really good, solid foundation. And it makes it so much easier for me. I just have to go in and look at their skin and say, this is my recommendation.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. I wish I had all the information that they had when I was their age.
Absolutely.
Who didn't know. And yeah, and now it's like about more correcting the stuff that we didn't take care of. So let's talk about some of your favorite products that you have in your office, and what are like your ones you'd be like, this is the product you have to have for whatever you think it treats best.
So it is textbook proven that the retinoids help you grow collagen and are anti-aging. We know that. The problem is, how can we deliver that in such a way that patients are going to use it and maybe tolerate a little bit of irritation to get to the other side? So we have a retinol product called our Glow Drops. And it's just, I'm very specific about how I want you to use those drops. It's just 3 or 4 drops in the palm, and then you put it all over the face. So when I ask patients how to use products, sometimes I'll see them, you know how they do the ads on Instagram where they're just squirting the dropper everywhere, right? And I come back to that and say, no, that's not how you apply your product. Or I see a lot of patients think that they have a certain condition and trying to use an over-the-counter product to kind of, you know, help with those symptoms. So when they come in, they're really surprised when I tell them my go-to are the Glow Drops and a vitamin C serum. Those are my go-to. I love both of those products, and just telling them how to use it correctly is really the best thing.
Oh, I love that. So I'm currently using a retinol and I'm pretty sure a vitamin C in the, so the retinol's for nighttime and the vitamin C, I believe I'm supposed to take in the morning. And so is there between products that even medical grade of those specific products, is that, do you see a variation in what is being provided, and how do you know that you are using a good one other than, you know, you feel like you're having results? Is there a way to tell whether you're having, is it the dose, the amount that's in it? And like, is there a ballpark that we should be looking for in the ingredient?
So if you're talking about over the counter, you might not get the same strength. Like, for example, sometimes I put my patients on prescription strength Retin-A, right? You need a prescription, you need to see a doctor for that. And I use those basically for my older patients that already have significant fine lines and wrinkles. You know, at that point, I really want to be aggressive with their skincare routine. But my, you know, my younger patients, even, you know, I consider 40s young, you know, right? So even those patients, I like to start them off on a retinol. It is normal for your skin to dry and peel a little bit. So that is how your skin, it's almost like it's telling you, okay, it's working. If it doesn't do anything in the beginning, it might not be strong enough for you. And but that doesn't mean you're going to continue peeling or become red in the beginning. That's just your skin cells, you know, turning over. You know, when we're younger, when you're in your 20s, your skin cells turn every 30 days, every 20, 30 days. As we get older, that slows down. So that's why when we're aging, patients come to me with complaints about my skin is dull. There's something about it that doesn't glow anymore. So that's what the retinols are for. So if you're using a product for at least 6 months and you're not seeing a difference, maybe it's time to change it up.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. So full transparency, I had a skin needling session and I was barely red. And that, to be honest, I was a bit disappointed. Because, you know, obviously I've seen some of your results. I've seen what it could potentially look like. And she did say, don't be alarmed if it's not too flush, but I didn't feel like it really did anything. And then I was given the, and this is a medical, like a clinic, and I was given the retinol. And I also haven't seen any real, she said, your skin may get a little bit pink from this, but I've had no reaction. Is it because my skin is tough? Or
why am I? Do you use retinol on a daily basis before then, before that time? Like, were you always on a retinol? No. So when I'm doing microneedling or skin needling, you know, my end point on that part of the face is, like I said, I like to see a little bit of petechiae, which is slight bleeding. You know, I don't mean for blood to be gushing out, but that's my end point. That's where I'm trying to get you at, right? And I actually don't put you on a retinol immediately, because I think that the retinol after a good microneedling session is probably going to burn or irritate your skin. So I want to put you on a product that is actually going to calm down that redness. And it's usually like peptide growth factors. Those are my go-to, a really good vitamin C even. So that's kind of, you know, the regimen I recommend. But after patients, maybe about 2 weeks after their microneedling, yes, you can start a Retin A or retinol. But yeah, I mean, if you've never used it before and you're not getting red, my suggestion would be maybe try to go up a little bit, because I do like to hear, I like to hear from the feedback from my patients. You know, I applied it and I've started getting a little bit, you know, pink or a little bit of dry, but you know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Are you using a lot of moisturizer right on top of that? Sometimes that can happen too.
No, I didn't use moisturizer right on top of that either.
So usually when patients are using a retinol or a Retin A product, I tell them to sandwich the product. So what that means is to help prevent that redness and irritation, because in skincare, consistency is key, right? If you're not using the product on a daily basis, you're not going to get the results. So I tell my patients that the one, you know, everybody has a lot of patients have sensitive skin. So I'll ask them to do their moisturizer first, their serum on top of that, and then another layer of moisturizer sometimes too. So if I'm spending that much time telling you guys that, hey, you might have to double up on that moisturizer, that means I'm anticipating your skin is going to get a little bit irritated. So I'm currently using my Glow Drop prescription, or my strength is actually twice that what I'm recommending to my patients. I'm starting my patients off on the first, the 2.5%. I'm on a 5. And I know that when I started my 5, I was red, I was peeling, and I was like, I need a break from this. So I stopped using it for a good couple of weeks. But when I went back to it, I had gotten over that time period. And now it doesn't irritate my skin. I know exactly how much to use. So I would say, make sure you're using enough. If yours is over the counter, maybe make sure you're using enough product. Is yours a serum?
Yes, it's a serum, and it's from a clinic. So, but the other thing I wanted to make a point of, Dr. Chaudhry, that you were saying was that your skin color matters as well. And so sometimes, cause I haven't found a clinic that, either specializes in it or even has, people that work there that are my complexion, I always find that people are very hesitant with me. Like, they don't want to hurt my skin. And I think that, you know, if you are of color, go somewhere, if you can find somewhere that also has a doctor or people working there that are of color, because your skin reacts different. And I find that they sometimes don't know what to do with my skin, and they're very cautious. They're scared of hyperpigmentation, and they don't want to do anything on my skin because they're scared.
I think that's such a good point. I mean, you really got it. I'm going to give you an example. I saw a patient a few weeks ago, beautiful African-American skin, and she came in. She had some light freckling, just some sun damage, and I recommended a treatment called Intense Pulse Light, or IPL. And she was really surprised. You know, she's like, well, wait a minute. People say I shouldn't get lasers. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. And I said, you know, I kind of agree with that, but I feel like with over 15 years experience now, and because you and I are pretty much the same skin color, if I'm recommending an IPL, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to burn you with that treatment. And the same thing with chemical peels. You know, we do have to be careful about the type of products we put onto our skin. I remember when I started the practice, I had a company come in and they wanted me to carry their chemical peels. And I said, well, do one on me. And are you sure this is safe for my skin? Oh, yeah. Well, she burned half my face, and it took me weeks, months to get rid of that hyperpigmentation. So without a doubt, always ask, you know, find out, are you guys used to seeing patients that, you know, are my skin color? How do you treat hyperpigmentation should it happen, right? So I emphasize to my patients that, you know, if you have a little bit of melanin in your skin, hyperpigmentation is always a risk, but as long as you're going someplace where they know how to treat that, you're in good hands.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I loved all of that. So let's say you're someone, I'm someone who I'm new to this, let's say, and I don't know where to begin with my skin. What would you recommend to someone who just wants to feel more beautiful in their own skin, but they don't have a, like, regime that they're following right now? What would you suggest?
You mean in terms of like skincare? That's probably my first thing, that let's put you on a great product. Let's get you onto a routine. You know, your vitamin C's, your retinols, those are my go-to. But if you're coming into the practice and you're asking, or, you know, what kind of treatments can my skin benefit from? Sometimes a light chemical peel. And I tell my patients, you're going to hate me when you're peeling, but it's going to be beautiful at the end. So there's a lot of hand holding. You know, I'm kind of aggressive with the type of treatments I do. I push them to as far as I can. And I think that if you educate your patients and, you know, you tell them what to expect, they do really well. But I also love, one of my favorite easy, no downtime treatments are the hydrafacial MDs. Have you had a hydrafacial before?
No, and I've actually always wanted to do it. Will I love it?
So hydrafacial MD, because we're a physician's office, our strength of serums are a little bit different. One of my favorite treatments for somebody that's never, ever done anything, sometimes I ease them into it. And I start by saying, why don't I just work on giving you healthy, glowing skin? So the hydrafacial, they have the patent on, it's a machine that cleanses, exfoliates your skin, does your extractions. It's almost like microdermabrasion, but a newer, a little bit more safer version of microdermabrasion. And then, you know, my go-to treatment for anybody that, even if they're young, if I see, you know, when you're talking to me, if I see some fine lines, is Botox or Dysport. That's usually where I start. I'm not a big fan of somebody that's never done anything before. You know, I don't want somebody to come in and just start off with fillers. You know, I like to ease them into it, unless they're talking about lips. Lip fillers are a different story. But if you're talking about your skin, I really like hydrofacial, light peels, and I like the Botox.
I love your approach. You're like, you go aggressive. I love that. I feel like if you're going to be there and you're doing it under it, obviously you're qualified to do it, and you're, you know exactly what you're doing. I feel like if you're there and you're doing it, you might as well like go for it. So,
right.
So how can people see you? Obviously, you're based in North Carolina. If I was there, I would be in your office, too, honestly, because I just feel like I would be in the best hands, honestly. But is there any other way for people to see you, or is it just in person?
So I think one of the biggest changes that happened during COVID that impacted my business was this idea of the virtual consultation. So I have several patients, some of them are even out of state, that, you know, usually, you know, would drive in to see me. And when COVID hit, we had to stop all of that. So virtual consultations are a great way. You get, you know, I get to kind of see what your skin looks like. And then we talk about what goals you want to try to get to. And then we come up with a treatment plan. So I think that is great. And I think that, you know, hopefully we'll get out of COVID soon, but virtual consultations are here to stay for quite a while.
Oh, I love that. And obviously people can buy online as well from like your products, your skincare line. And do you ship internationally for your products?
We are working on shipping internationally. So we had a team meeting about that today, in fact, that, you know, because I have wonderful followers all over the world and they will ask us. And so we have been working on that. So we're still new in the game, but hopefully soon.
That's amazing. I'll definitely be buying the drops. I'm so excited for those. It's so...
I'll send you some. I'll send you some.
So excited. Okay. I could seriously talk to you forever. I have like a list of things that I didn't even get to, but in respect for your time, I just want to thank you so much for making the time to come on the show today and really talk about why it's just like, it's giving everybody permission to take care of ourselves. Like we're alive, you know what? It's part of our feminine essence to want to feel beautiful. And our skin is the first thing that people see. And before makeup, like I'm someone that before makeup, I want my skin to look good. Skincare, number one, I could do without the makeup. Skin is so, so, so important. So thank you so much for making the time to.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. So tell me this really quick. You know, in the US, I have found that American women tend to feel a lot of guilt when they, you know, come in and spend time and money on themselves. What do you think for Australia? Is that something that is common there? Because a lot of cultures, I have a group of patients that are from Brazil. They're young girls and they come in and they've already done everything I'm suggesting. And it's part of their culture to want to take care of themselves. So what do you think about that in Australia?
I don't know. I feel like it's like half and half. I think a lot of women are open to it. I think there is a level, I think more so with moms, there's like that mom guilt that like you could be doing for your child. And I really wish we would move away from that because I feel like when I take care of myself, because my daughter watches me do like get ready and stuff like that. When I take care of myself and she asks me, Mama, what are you doing? I'm like, I very openly explain to her, I do this because I love myself. This is a way of me taking care of myself. Just like we wash our bodies and we keep our bodies clean. I like to take care of my skin. I like to take care of my hair. And she sees it as a form of self-love because that's how I explain it to her. And I wish that as a collective, as women, because as I said before, I don't feel like it's the men judging. I feel like it's women judging. And if you have a problem with women spending money on their appearance and all that, I would really invite you to look within and ask what that's about because mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the woman that's investing in her appearance. There's something within you that needs to get cleared up. And when I see, you know, judgment online of women either prioritizing themselves or doing too much, I feel like we all have a different view of what is beautiful. And what is beautiful for me might not be what's beautiful for somebody else, but I'm going to choose to honor what that other person views as beautiful. And yeah, I just think we just need to get out of this place of judgment because judgment of the other always begins with judgment of ourselves. And so I'd really encourage people to look inside and be like, what is it that you're really judging there?
Right. I agree with you. You're a smart woman. I love talking to you. Yeah, you know, we're talking about my favorite topic, right? So I could talk about this. During our team meeting today, the girls were like, you know, I was like, how am I supposed to talk for so long? And they're like, oh my gosh, you never stop talking. So I love it. I love it. But I will tell you, I see this change in my own practice where, like I said, my millennials are coming in with a completely different mindset. I saw a young mom, and as I was injecting some Botox on her, I said, did you ever think you would do this? And I'll never forget the look on her face when I asked her that. You know, she kind of looked at me, really surprised at the question. And she came out and she said, why wouldn't I? So, you know, and I love that answer. She was like, why wouldn't I, like, you know, take care of myself? And so I really hope and I really want to encourage women, you know, nobody else is going to take care of you. You have to do it yourself, right? So you should feel empowered about spending those few little moments, whether it's your skincare, whether, you know, it's an injectable or laser treatment, whatever it is that makes you feel like you're taking care of yourself, you should do it.
Okay, guys, I hope you got some powerful takeaways from this episode. If so, please share it with someone. And if you haven't done so already, please review and subscribe as it helps us to spread our message of inspiration. Sending you all so much love, and I'll see you on the next episode of The Hustler's Guide to Flow.